If you take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. In God's providence, this afternoon we'll be considering the account of the penitent thief on the cross who asked Jesus to remember him when Jesus came into his kingdom. This is not something that Pastor John and I arranged beforehand. This is purely God's providence that we considered what it was for Joseph to be remembered by God, even though he languished in prison, and for the request even that Joseph made to the cupbearer to remember him to Pharaoh. I'd like to read Luke 23, beginning at verse 32, and reading down to verse 43. And two others also, who were criminals, were being led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. And the people stood by looking on. And even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Now there was also an inscription above him, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered and rebuking him said, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." We have before us this afternoon what I think is one of the most glorious texts in all of Scripture. It's a text that is full of hope for believer and non-believer alike. It reminds us that as long as there is a beating heart within our breast, there is hope for salvation. It tells us that no matter what we've done, no matter how heinous the sins we've committed, we are not beyond God's saving grace. In the exchange we've just now read together between the Lord Jesus and the criminal hanging on one of the crosses beside him took place amidst the most evil, wicked, deplorable event in the history of mankind. Even the hours leading up to this point, the hours of Jesus' suffering before the crucifixion, go far beyond anything we could ever experience ourselves or would ever experience in our lifetime. Jesus has been arrested, falsely accused, beaten, spat upon. He's had his beard plucked out, a crown of thorns placed on his head and beaten onto his head with a reed. Deprived of sleep, humiliated, scourged, and finally crucified naked between two common criminals. This is our Savior. Our focus for this time of study this afternoon will be primarily verse 42. As the thief cried and he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." First thing I'd like to consider are the words, "remember me," something that Pastor Wakefield talked about this morning. And this word, "remember," as it's used here, is not used in the same common way as you or I would use it today. This man was not simply asking Jesus to remember his name or call his situation to memory. It's not being used in the way we would say, "I remember the day almost 20 years ago when I met Al and Ken Cook and Rob Griffith in this very church." Both the Greek and Hebrew dictionaries define the verb "remember" here, as used here, this way: to think of, to care for, to be concerned about, to help. It means much more than having a memory in your mind or an idea in your head. It involves loving and caring and doing things, doing good things for people. We see this word used much the same way in other places in God's Word, not only with regards to Joseph this morning that we heard, but in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1, we see Noah and his family on the ark. The water, we are told, has prevailed upon the earth for 150 days. And then verse 1 tells us, "But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark. And God caused a wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided." See, here again, the word remember is not simply recalling to memory someone or something, but it's used in the same way it is used in our text here this afternoon. God remembered Noah and did something. Again, in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 22, here we have Rachel, unable to bear children, while her sister Leah has borne 6 sons and 1 daughter to Jacob. And God in his mercy answered Rachel's prayers. And in verse 22 we read, "Then God remembered Rachel, and God gave heed to her and opened her womb." Of course, as we know, Rachel gave birth to Joseph. This is the same idea we have here in our text. Jesus, remember me. This man is asking that Jesus would take a kind interest in him, that he will help him, that he will love him. I think this man's words are best summed up in Psalm 106, verse 4. "Remember me, O Lord, in your favor toward your people. Visit me with your salvation." And perhaps the most remarkable thing about this statement is the incredible faith displayed by this thief. Think about what he's saying here. By asking Jesus to remember him, he is stating that he believes that there is an afterlife. He's stating that he believes that beyond the grave lies something more. He's saying he does not believe in annihilationism. He's saying he does not believe in a purgatory. He believes that after death there is indeed something more. Even more amazing than this is the fact that he asks Jesus to remember him when he comes in his kingdom. This murderous terrorist is saying to Jesus that, "I believe you to be a king, and I want to be where you are." Is there anyone in the history of the world that looked less like a king than Jesus did at that very moment? He was broken, he was battered, and dying naked on a cross. The Jews were hurling insults at him. They were mocking him even as he breathed out his life on that Roman cross. As we know, crucifixion was reserved for the worst kind of criminal. It was a horrible dread and the disgrace of the ancient world. No Roman citizens, as we know, were permitted to be crucified. One Roman writer speaking of crucifixion says, "Let it never be named. It was so deplorable that it wasn't even talked about in polite society. The word cross was not used in common Roman parlance." Everything this thief would have seen and heard would have told him by human standards that this man hanging next to him was a joke. In fact, he was being mocked and laughed at for the very accusation of being a king. Pilate even posted a mocking sign above Jesus' head as we read, "Jesus, King of the Jews." But somehow, in God's infinite kindness and in his sovereign will, the eyes of this criminal were opened, and he was able to see Jesus with the eyes of faith. He was able to see Jesus for who he really was. The next thing we should consider is who is making this request. But we can't know for certain. But we can suppose and use our sanctified imaginations that it is entirely possible that these two men were the cohorts of Barabbas, or at least knew of Barabbas. The Bible doesn't give us any real background on either one of these two men, other than to say that they were criminals and that their crimes were worthy of the death penalty. Even the man we're now considering, when he rebuked the other criminal, as we've already read in verses 40 and 41, But the other answered, and rebuking him, said, Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds, a self-admitted guilty criminal. But this man, seeing Jesus as the king he was, cries out, Remember me. Pastor Donnelly paraphrases this statement, this simple statement, Remember me. Pastor Donnelly says, Great King Almighty, everlasting, universal, King of all creation, what are you going to remember when you ascend into heaven and receive the worship and honor and glory that is rightfully yours? When the angels and living creatures and elders around the throne cry out, Worthy is the Lamb. Well, I think you should remember me. Who is this man that Jesus should remember him? You could say the same thing of yourself, and I could say the same thing of myself. Who am I that Jesus would remember me? We can surmise from the scriptures that this man was not unusually good. He's not one of the religious elite. In fact, he's probably not religious at all. He's not a man who spent his life giving back to humanity. He's a terrorist thug. And if that's not enough, we read in Mark chapter 15 and verse 32, those who were crucified with him were also insulting him. And again in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 44, the robbers who had been crucified with him were also insulting him with the same words. This man was right there along with his partner, insulting Jesus and mocking him at first. Just a few minutes earlier, we're told that both of these criminals reviled Jesus. So the kind of change that we see in this man can only be explained by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. It's all of grace that this man, though he is breathing out his life, is going to be dead in a few short hours, but that he sees his most pressing, urgent need is not the relief of his present physical sufferings. This man sees his most urgent need, his most immediate need, as the eternal resting place of his immortal soul. He's not asking for immediate relief. He's not asking for comfort. He knows he's going to die. He knows that he will not somehow be miraculously transported from that cross into paradise. He says, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. You see, he realized that physical death must first come. But he was looking beyond that and was calling upon the only one that could secure a place for him in heaven. What a contrast between these two criminals. The impenitent thief was railing against Jesus and said, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. He was only concerned with his immediate state, his physical suffering. He gave no thought to his eternal soul whatsoever. His words, Are you not the Christ? Are not words spoken in faith, but in mockery. How many in this world, in this country, in this province, in this county, even in this church, are guilty of the same thing as this impenitent thief? How many here are only concerned with today and their present comfort? How many of us are genuinely concerned for the eternal resting place of our immortal souls and the souls of the lost that we know sit here week after week? The souls of the lost that are within our own families, our children, our parents, brothers, sisters. None of us here this afternoon are hanging on a cross. Lord willing, we will all have a tomorrow on this earth. What will you do with your tomorrow? Will you waste it pursuing the good things that this world has to offer that only last for a short time and will be burned up? Or will you seek to lay up treasure in heaven? Finally, I'd like to pose one more question to everyone sitting here this afternoon. Which criminal do you identify with? It's an easy question because there are only two choices. You either identify with one or the other. It's like you can't serve God and mammon. You serve one and worship the other. Do you identify with the impenitent thief who is only concerned with the here and now, what's going on today in my life, and the things of this world? Or do you identify with the other who cried out for mercy to the Lord Jesus so that when you pass through that veil into eternity, you will awake to experience the fullness of joy forevermore? Do you identify with that man? Once again this afternoon, we're all faced with a decision that has eternal consequences. Reject the free gift of salvation one more time that the Lord Jesus offers you and gamble your immortal soul so that you'll continue breathing tomorrow, or you can flee unto Jesus right now in exactly the same way as this penitent thief did. There are no fancy words, no script to follow. Just confess that you're a desperate, lost sinner and ask Jesus to forgive your sins and save you. If you do that, as the Bible says, you'll be as a brand plucked from the fire. The instant that you ask him to save you, he will. And Jesus will remember you if you ask him to. He promises it will be so. Just as he promised the thief that day, today you will be with me in paradise. Acts chapter 2 and verse 21 says, "And it shall be that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."